I'm glad to be here tonight, and we were talking a little bit before we came in. These men were talking to me about veterans thing, something. I had a meeting of some kind around here somewhere, and some man that was decorated or been in POW camp and things like that. And then Brother Sexton gave me a book on wounded spirits. So I said, Lord, what are you trying to say to me tonight? And I'll take that book home and read a little. And I'm glad to be here. And when you start talking about the war, my mind goes back. And I'm just glad to be here. I'm thankful for the prayers of my mom and my wife and the mercies of God while I was in that country. I was just sitting a while ago, man, and I was just thinking, I said, God, I didn't even realize what you were doing. At the time, I didn't recognize the Lord. But if there's any heroes, it'd be my mom and these that prayed. If there's any heroes in this time, it'd be those that's on their knees and praying during the time of war when your sons were there and your daughters there. My dad didn't go to war, but he was sitting on that hill praying. And I went across that porch as a 19-year-old boy, and he shook my hand and he said, son, I'll be praying for you. I said, at that time I was 19, man. I was going, you know. I wasn't thinking. Mama's in the kitchen crying. She wouldn't even come out of the kitchen. And I was headed out. You went with me to Fort Campbell, didn't you? And I don't want to talk about that. I want to start tonight. The Lord has been doing some things in these days with me and my work, and I thank him for it. I see some things taking place, and the Lord is really helping us. And tonight I want to take the book of Amos in verse 8, chapter 8, please. The book of Amos, chapter 8. I'll come to this verse here in verse 11. I really don't know. I really have seven verses or six verses that I'm going to use, but I'll just use verse 11 because I'm going to come to that one when I get there. Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I want to preach tonight on the four transgressions of the house of God. The four transgressions of the house of God. And I'll use these verses, but I want to start by letting you understand what I'm trying to say out of this book. If you'll turn back to chapter 1, I want to read a few things a few times there and let you get understanding of those verses. Chapter 1, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, now this is his determinate will, I will not turn away the punishment. And you'll see that statement made to Gaza, and to Tyrus, and to Edom, and to Moab, and to Ammon, and then down to Judah, the last one, and Israel's the last one. He'll say, for the three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away the punishment. Three is a number for full manifestation. God will fully manifest His punishment. Three is a number of full manifestation. It's the Trinity. Four is a number of universal. The whole world. The universal work of God is the whole world. There's more people in the world than us few. And this Bible is no different to those people as it is to you. Only thing that is done with God is that you're accountable to how you receive the Word of God. It's your responsibility. You won't be judged before God because of what someone else has done. You won't be judged before God by what mama done or daddy done or brother done or the Baptist done. The full manifestation of God. The four is the universal plus seven. Seven is the completion of His work. And He says to these, He said, I will not turn away from my punishment. That meant He will complete it when He starts it. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, you ought to understand that God is the one that knows how. He's too wise. And His fully manifested work is that He will not turn away from His punishment. When you get under the chastening hand of God, and even in such, old Brother Hanley Milby used to say, you can do what you want to do with God, but you ain't going to stop God doing what He's going to do to you. God will fully manifest Himself to man, and then He'll do it universally all over the world in many ways. But the greatest way right now is the Bible, the Word of God. That's why we try to get the Scriptures to them. That's what it's all about. They need the Word of God. They're in darkness because they don't have the book. That's why they're in darkness. So the fullness of God is that He will punish. And this understanding of God dealing with Israel, you must understand also, this same God deals with you. This God of Israel, this God of this Bible, is the God that came down and fully manifested Himself on Calvary for your sins. That is the living God of that Old Testament. And He acts upon man the same way. He's not respect a person. And people can push off and say whatever they want to, translate the Scripture, interpret the Scriptures, whatever they want to. God will take care of His people. And He will punish. He will punish. The chastening hand of God, the chastening work of God. To see that here, in all these nations, in all these people. And people, and let me say something to you tonight. You think the church is getting by with it? Do you think the people of God are getting by with the way they are? They're not, Brother Wayne. I don't want to be bitter or mean or anything about that. But you're not getting away with anything with God. You might think you are. And you might say to yourself, it's all right. But you don't when you violate His Word. And you don't do what He says. You're going to get in trouble with God. It says, I don't make no doubt. I don't care. That's be mean preaching, whatever you ought to say. Mean, whatever it is. There's people tonight that's not doing what the Word of God says. That's why it's what it is. That's why their life is what it is. They're not obeying the Word of God. They're not doing what God said to do. And He said, I will not turn away. I don't see the church a shouting it nowadays, buddy. I don't see it running and shouting and screaming, hallelujah. I don't see the blessings of God upon it.
I don't see nothing but the hand of God working on people. Yea, even myself in the matter of my disobedience to that book. You don't think God's word is not holy and grace? God's word is not quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? And when any man messes with it, when any man tries to pervert it or twist it or cause it or add to it or anything else, he's going to let the plagues on him. He's going to take his name out of the book. Tonight we got churches everywhere, Brother Wayne. We got people trying to start churches everywhere, and there ain't nothing but a mess. There ain't nothing but a mess. And preaching like, well, I will get to this point in a minute. He said, for the three transgressions, for four, yea, seven, the completion of God. Seven is God's number. That means complete. It'll be done. So what do you want to say? I want to talk about the four transgressions of the house of God. That house of God is called Bethel. First time mentioned, chapter 3, verse 14. That in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. The first transgression of the house of God is there's no prayer. Look at what he says. And the horns of the altar shall be cut off. Brother Wayne, this generation don't know what it means to hang on to the horns of the altar. Their prayers are anemic. They wouldn't know what you meant by getting hold of the horns of the altar. That old timers used to, how they used to say it, that you get a hold of the horns of the altar, boy. This outfit don't know anything about it. They don't know anything about it. You hear me? Take them one time up in the woods and see if they can pray. We used to pray up on that little old hill right behind there. Your brothers, all of them, they'd crawl up behind there. They'd be crawling up there. We'd be praying. And as we're praying, we'd say, God, them boys hear us over there now. They need to have the Lord. They're listening to us, you know. And it'd be her brother. They'd all be laying in those weeds listening to us. And we'd get done praying, you know. And it'd be every Saturday night, me and Alan Johnson, Mark Cooley, and a whole gang of us. Old Alan lived over there then. We'd be up on that hill every Saturday night. And they come up one night, they come up out, we said, we know you're here, boys. They said, you don't got to see, we're going to church tomorrow. Yeah, you know. They'll just walk on down the hill. They'd come up there and listen to us pray. It was a matter of years past, and Tom come on, and we went up there to pray one night, and I was up there praying, and I started coming out of the prayer time. We was praying, and I was going down the hill, me and Alan and Brother Mark Cooley, Ben Cooley's, being in Jeremiah's dad, used to be a great prayer warrior. Used to pray in the fields till frost settled on his head. Walk into his trailers and the pictures would fall off the walls from the demons of hell. He cut off the horns of the altar. One transgression of the church is they have no prayer. They have no prayer. Well, I was going to finish that story and I'll run on right fast. You know, let me tell you something. I love to be with you, and I have been in that matter too. But I'm telling you, here lately, Brother Wayne, we have a good time over our talking to them hamburgers, and we jab at each other and go at each other. But I brother, I'm a pulling up on this giggly bunch, this laughing bunch, trying to laugh off God in their life. All they can do is go around prod and joke and joke and go on. Get on your knees! Get in your closet and pray! You say, oh man, he's serious. He should. That's the way our fathers used to be men. They didn't play games. They didn't come to the church and have socializing. They didn't come into the church. They come into the church with a solid look in their face, and they'd sit down on that altar. They just come up out of that prayer room with their old handkerchiefs where they'd called on God. Where they'd called on God. And I'll tell you something else. He didn't raise him up, but they'd pray for the sick. We went out there and touched your daddy and prayed for him during that revival with Roy Goodson over there at the tabernacle. Remember that? And we came out there and prayed for Brother Lunsford. Lord didn't raise him up. He went on to heaven. He didn't raise up Montana either. But every time you get to singing, you make me think about her. And I hate it. I'm sorry. That bothers people. I just make me think. I had a wonderful, wonderful sister. She knew God. She'd lay hold that fire. She'd get in her basement. She'd wrap her arms around that pole down underneath that basement. And she'd call on God for her children. We come down from that prayer one morning, one evening, and police is sitting down there. Come down there, and as we come out of there, he said, "Oh, Donnie, I didn't know that was up there. I knew the policeman." And I said, "We're just up there praying." He said, "We had a report there was some demon worshiping going on up on that hill. We just come out to check it." I said, "Where'd you get that?" He said, "Down there in that trailer park." I told Mark, Alan, "Saturday morning, we'll be right at the end of that trailer park. Get your hand full of tracks. We're going to go down through there and see what's in there." So we got out there and we went down through that trailer and knocked on those trailers. Not one person from our area was there. They were all from out of town. You see, the people around the other places don't know what the foundation and the founding of the churches were bed by in the old days. They were bed by fasting, by praying. They had prayer meetings. They'd get along with God. They'd come together in their houses. They'd sing and they'd pray and ask God to do something. The old tabernacle, they'd get a hold of God. This crowd, this bunch don't know nothing about praying. I said, they don't know nothing about praying, I'm telling you. They don't know nothing about praying.
I'll be praying for you.
And then you can't even find them in the prayer room. If you're going to say you're going to pray for someone, you can't go to the prayer room. I just wouldn't do it. You say, "That's me." No, that's right. If you say you're going to pray for somebody and you can't go to the prayer room and pray for the church and pray for the need of the services, your prayer ain't going to go too far. That's right. I'm sorry. If you can't make it to the prayer room, how do you tell somebody you can't but pray for them? You say, "That's mean." That ain't mean. That's right. That's what's wrong with. We need to be reproved of where we fell. The first thing, always the first thing, for the house of God, the transgression of the house of God, the first thing is prayer. The first thing has always been prayer. It's always been prayer. You're going to lose power when you don't have no prayer. And you don't find them. Okay, women, get a hold of me now. Don't get mad at me. You don't find women weeping on the altar no more like old times. Son, they used to weep over their children. They'd get up there and they'd just cry their hearts out over their children. They'd weep over them. The first thing of the house of God is he said he cut the horns of the altar off. The first transgression, no prayer, then there's no power. The second one is in chapter 4, verse 4. He said, "Come to Bethel and transgress." And transgress. That's strange. Come to the house of God and transgress. You mean I'm going to come to the house of God and sin? Yeah. "Multiply your transgression at Gilgal. Bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years." "And after a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven." "And proclaim and publish the free offering For the, this asketh you. For this ask lacketh you. You like it this way. You're the children of Israel, says the Lord. Then you read on. And I have also given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. But I got to get me some glasses in. Cities. And want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me. Yet have you not returned unto me. Turn to verse 8. And two or three cities wandered up into these cities to drink water. But they were not satisfied. They were not. People come to the house of God and they're not satisfied. They can't get satisfied. What is your satisfaction? I'm glad the day that I got satisfied is when I took of the bread of life. I took of that bread which I'll never hunger no more. I drank of that water which I never thirst no more. I'm satisfied in Jesus. I'm satisfied in Jesus. But they come to the house of God. They come, he said, come to Bethel. He said, ours are where the transgressions have taken place. That's where they have no prayer. That's where they have no preparation. They're not preparing to meet God. They're not getting ready to meet the Lord. This is the preparation place. The house of God is a preparing place. That's when you come into the house of God. God prepares you. God makes you fit. God takes you alive. God perfects you. God puts something in your life. God teaches you how to walk. Tell you so. He teaches things. He brings your tithes in. You bring your order in. You bring your families in. There is a transgression when you come to the house of God and you offer up your sacrifices of thanksgiving with leaven in your hand. Leaven is a type of wickedness, malice. Come to the house of God and say hallelujah and then hate your brother. Come to the house of God and say thank God I'm saved and then have malice toward one another. I'm talking about the transgressions of the house of God, brother. The first one is there's no prayer. And that'll always be number one on the list of everything that fails. If anything falls and don't make it, it'll put that at the top of the list. There's no prayer. No preparedness. Then I like this one right here. I'm hurrying pretty good, ain't I? I'm moving right along. Chapter 5, verse 5. I'm headed to that on preaching. I get to that and then I might hang up a little bit. Chapter 5, verse 5. But seek not Bethel. Don't seek the house of God. That's what it says. Seek not the house of God. Don't seek Bethel. Let me get to the verse. Nor enter into Gilgal. And pass not by Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity. And Bethel shall what? Come to naught. The house of God coming to nothing. That's what it says, ain't it? Come to naught. It said, don't even go down there seeking the house of God. He said, because it's coming to nothing. Take care of now, 3 and 4. He said, I will not turn from my punishment. You better hang on, buddy. The church is under chastening, Doc. Amen. It's under chastening. Now, brother, it's under chastening. You take the scriptures lightly. Violate what it says. Take the Lord's Supper as it's nothing. Have your baptism as it seems to be nothing. It's an ordinance of the church. Amen. I go where I want to, run anywhere you want to. You're violating two of the ordinances there. You want the indictment that God puts on chapters 11, 1 Corinthians? Many are sick, many sleep, and many are weak, many sleep. Mm-mm. Many sick, many sleep. Weak and sick, is that it, brother? Weak, sick, and sleep, man. Weak, sick, and sleep. That sleep means they die. You know context? The Lord's Supper, my friend. The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. I said the Lord's Supper. Oh, it ought not be that serious. You don't think it's serious with God? You don't think it's serious with God? You ought to see what kind of condition we're in. See what kind of shape we're in. And people want you to tell them it's going to be all right. They ain't been to church in 3 weeks or months. You know, one place over there talks about they kept their tithes for 3 years. They ain't even been given to the church. I believe tithing is scriptural, isn't it, Brother Wayne? I mean, it is scriptural. I mean, I think that's right. I believe that's right. I believe that's what it says, you know. And somebody said, well, I just give it. I want to give it. You better take care of the Word of God then. Amen. He didn't say it. Well, he said, what did the Word of God say? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be scriptural. You want a social club? Go up there. They're all over this place. They're all kind of health and wealth ministries. There's all kind of money running everywhere in the world. There's all kind of people got numbers packed out. But I'm going to live according to that book, aren't you? I'm going to do what that Bible said. I don't care if I got two. I don't care because that's all that's going to count. But you, if you've done what that book said, when you get to heaven, you're going to be accountable for what God said, buddy. Not what people think. Not what they're doing. Not what anybody. You better get a hold of it. You're going to be accountable for that book. Amen. Amen. And it'll help you. It'll help you if you get a hold of it. It'll help you. It'll make you strong. It'll make you go on. I'm going to do what that Bible says. I'm going to do what the Bible says. And then they'll say, boy, you're so mean. You know, listen to me. I'm going to do what that Bible says. I want God not to. I fear my Lord. Yeah. And you say, do you love him? Oh, I love him. It's an unknowable love. It's not this sensual, stinking stuff that you've got nowadays. Jesus loves you. Son, that bunch of junk. I don't even know what the love of God is. I don't know what it is either. It passes knowledge.
Yes, sir.
This little old preacher gave me a good definition not long ago, brother. This is what he said. He said, once you ever experience it, you won't have to define it. That's good, ain't it? Once you ever experience the love of God, you won't have to define it. All you got to do is know it. You know how you do it, Brother Bud? It's like what you were saying a while ago. When you come up the road, you ain't worth a nickel and you ain't doing nothing, you know, and you say, Lord, do you love me? I know he loves me. I know it. He'll say, I love you. I love you with all my heart. And that love of God to get in your heart. He loves me, man. I know nothing else. He loves me. I'm glad I can be all alone, be out of yourself, riding that road down the Bible by yourself and wherever you're going. And then somebody in that car with you starts telling you how much he loves you. And you tell him how much you love him. And you just have a great time. You have a wonderful time. I know he loves me tonight. Amen. Because of the experiences of his love, not the expressions and not the exegesis. It's by the experiences of his love. He says there, preparation, that leaven in the church of malice. Won't we be children of malice, it says over there. Be men of, I got to get it. How is it? Men of children of malice. I ought to refresh the scriptures before I got here. But the whole thing, the gifts and the preparation, preparing you you got to see. He said, "Come to Bethel and don't." And you're going to transgress. They're going to come to Bethel and transgress. They're going to come in with malice. They're going to come in with no love. They're going to come in at 11. They're going to take wrong doctrine. They're going to come in there and they're going to transgress. And he said, by that coming into the church, this church, the house of God, will come to naught. It'll come to nothing because of it. So the second transgression is preparation. First transgression is prayer. Remember this one now. God said the first thing that always causes a church to lose and go to naught is they neglect prayer. That's the first thing, brother. It's prayer. When that prayer room goes down, when the people quit praying, when the families quit praying, when the church quits praying, when the altar gets dry, when there ain't nobody on the altar no more, and everybody's sitting in a seat, some full of pride, some won't bow their head, they won't come up there, they don't want nobody to see them coming up there, they want to see that, they're afraid they might look at them, you ought to shuck your pride and crawl to the altar and get on your face and start saying, oh God, my house is coming to nothing. My house is coming to nothing. And by the power of prayer, by the asking of God, he starts moving. He starts changing. He starts doing things by prayer. By prayer. But there's going to be a brokenness of it. And then there's going to be a preparation of it. If you don't, after that, you've got to grow in the grace of God. You've got to learn about God. You've got to let God prepare you. If you don't, if there's no prayer and there's no preparation, you'll come to naught. The third transgression, this is, I like this one. The third transgression is chapter 5, verse 5. Look at this. That's the one I read. Seek not Bethel. Seek not Bethel. Have I read that already? Well, we're going to preach on it just a little second right now. Seek not the house of God. Yeah, so Bethel shall come to naught. I was on this and I jumped off back on prayer and power, didn't I? There's no prayer, there's no power. There's no preparation, there's no perfection. And when there is no pursuit, seek the Lord. Amen. Seek the Lord. Amen. Let me read a little bit more here so I can show you that. Verse 6. Seek the Lord, and what ye do, ye shall live. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. I don't believe the Lord has ever let me down in a matter of asking him to live. Hezekiah said that. To live. He was sick unto death, not sin unto death. Hezekiah, I sought the Lord with tears. And he said, Lord, I want to live. I want to live. I preached that down to Sammy. I want to live. I want to live, don't you? But I want to live in the fullness of God. Amen. I want to live in the way of the Lord. Now, I've got three of them here right fast. Now, I'll get to preaching. Not mean starting. I'm preaching now. I'll get to the fourth point. There's no prayer and there's no power. There's no preparation, there's no perfection. And if there's no pursuit of God, you will not find any more people pursuing God. They don't hunger after Him, they don't thirst after Him, they don't run after God no more, they don't seek the Lord. I've been seeking Him all my life, and He has been found. Seek the Lord, He shall be found. Seek the Lord, He shall be found. You don't find anybody anymore seeking the Lord. Verse 6 says, you're seeking the Lord, a person, and not a place. Sir, we would see a person right here, not a place. Or us, we would see Jesus. I didn't start out to seek the Baptist. I didn't start out to seeking a place. I started out seeking a person. I seek a person. He's in this place because it is called the house of God. But when men start seeking the place, or they start seeking everything but the person, I come to the house of God to see Jesus. Not to see me. Not to see you. I come seeking a person. What do you come on Sunday morning for? Why do you come on Sunday night? Why do you come any reason? Why does anybody come to church for?
I want to see the person, Jesus. I come seeking a person. Not a program. Not a plan. Brother, that's the only thing that brings me to church. If I was going to try to come to church because of the people, I would never come. I'm going to have to see them. They're going to be there. I'm not going. So-and-so's there. Ed's there. I don't like him. I don't like that. I didn't come to see you. I come to see him. I come to see him. And if you come in here and put your eyes on him, everybody comes seeking him. Guess what he'll do? He'll reveal himself. He'll show himself. If every person would come to the house of God wanting to find Jesus, wanting to see the person of Christ, wanting to come. If you'd come this week with a man of God that's going to seek the Lord, I felt more burdened about this message tonight than I have in all the years coming up here. I felt the burden to preach, Brother Wayne. Been a long time. Last two or three places I've been, it's been that way. It's been strange, brother. It's been strange. To feel the burden to preach. It happened down there like about a month or so with brother, those twin boys, Chad and Brad. And I got up to preach, and I preached. I started, and I just stood there for a while. Brother Raines and all of them there, you know. And I stood there. I said, I hadn't felt God like this in a long time. In a long time. Four transgressions that shut the house of God down. No prayer. No preparation. Getting themselves right and understanding the scriptures. Let your pastor teach you. Let you understand about what you got to do in the church. No preparation. People, that's our job to prepare the people to meet Jesus. We're going to be accountable for our preparation with them. And that's all your ordinances, and that's your matter of practical living, that's your matter of godliness, that's a matter of your tithe, that's a matter of your faithfulness, that's a matter of coming to church, that's a matter of your jobs, that's a matter of everything alive, that's a matter of how you talk, that's a matter of where you go, that's a matter of where you look, that's a matter of what you say, that's a matter of everything. Prepare them, presenting them, and chase virgins, Paul says. One of these, and he'll shut the house of God because there's no preparation. Then there is no pursuit. What should I pursue? You should pursue a person. Seek the Lord. Verse 14, though, but he said, seek good. Look at verse 14. I'm about done. Seek good. He's looking at that verse preceding that. He said, it's going to come a time, though, that it's going to be so evil that the evilness of all that's around us and the evilness around us right now, that the prudent person will be silent. Boy, ain't that something? Verse 13, the prudent shall keep silent in that time. You know what that means? Don't get in an argument with all these talk shows. Don't get involved with all this garbage going on the television. It'll run you nuts. It'll drive you nuts. That garbage going on, them talk fellas, all them talk fellers, you know, have nothing to do with it. They're doting about with destitute of truth, doting about with questions, causing strife of words. They're warring. And he said, withdraw thyself from them, Timothy. Have nothing to do with them.
Amen.
Where do you want to be? Where do you want me to be, God? In that pulpit. I'm praying the word of God out, preparing the people. If they just come and listen, Brother Wayne, if they just hear the truth will make them free. The truth will expose all of their lies. Amen. It'll expose their lies. You'll get the truth at the house of God, not on Fox News. And not on your stinking Facebook. It's running them, brother. I know it's a good device, could be used right, but it's running most of it. It's like the television. It could have been a good device, but it's ruined everybody. The devil gets a hold of it. Are you against inventions? No. Are you against the phones? No. I might all know. But you better get some understanding. You better get some wisdom about it. You better understand what the devil's doing with it and how he's twisting you up and moving you around. How he's getting a hold of you and deceiving you. Oh, that might be right. That might be right. Well, you know what you ought to ask, where it's right or not. If you're a woman and you're married to a husband that's foot knows God, ask him. And if he can't give you the answer, ask him. That's right. That's right. You ask her, if you have any questions, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's for her to be silent in the church. If she has any questions, go home and ask her husband. Go home and ask her husband. Don't get on Facebook. Don't get on that ticket. Go home and ask your husband. If he don't know the Lord, go ask your pastor. He'll give you the truth. He'll give you what's right. Don't listen to that garbage on your book, on anything else. Amen. Right here's where the truth said. Preparation of a people. The reason they're closing the house of God down is because of all this. I love the house of God, don't you? Hey, man, that's the only place God can send revival. Do you know that? He might just send revival down. Wouldn't it be a blessing? He could send revival right here. What you got to do? I've got to make sure I'm praying. I've got to keep my people prepared. Then I've got to have a pursuit for God. A pursuit for God. That's His person. Then pursuit of good. That's the next thing. He said, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. That you may live. I'll hit these three right here and quit. Oh no, I got to get preaching now. I got to give you preaching. Seek Him and live. Seek Him in His goodness. Seek Him in His goodness. He's good, ain't He? He's good. Oh, God is good. He's good. Seek Him in His goodness and you'll find happiness. If you just get to sing about how good He is and you get to talk about how good He is, all of a sudden you get happy, 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 happy. You'll just get as happy as they can be. If you get to talk about how good He is and how great He is, well, that's my next point. Just start talking about how good He is, you'll find you're happy, 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 happy. I just want to be happy. Just know how good God is to you, how good God's been to you, how gracious He is to you. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. And I can get happy, happy, happy over His goodness. Amen. Seek Him in His goodness and you'll find happiness. Seek Him in His greatness and you'll find holiness. Son, I got them coming up the road. That's what I was writing over a while ago. Seek Him in His greatness, bud, and you'll find His holiness. You people don't know how holy He is. He's a holy God. He's a God, great God. And you seek Him in His greatness, brother. He's holy. 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 And Isaiah found Him, didn't he? Holy. What did Isaah? I'm an unclean man amidst the unclean people. I'm undone, he said. I'm undone. He said, now go over there and get the coals off that altar. That angel went over and got one of them coals off the altar with the tongs and come over and touched his lips. He couldn't talk without those coals touching him, buddy. He needed the fire of God to touch the lips of this man. You need God's fire to reach down on those lips and purify them, brother, and the conversation. And then when he got to talking, after God put the coals to it, guess what he said? He said, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, God. Thou art a great God. Thou art a holy God. I want to go. I want to go. They'll never go. They'll never do anything for God. If they pursue God and they go after God, they got to see His greatness. They got to see His holiness. And then when they see that, I've got a great God behind me. I've got a great God that's touching me. I've got a great God that puts His hand on me. The reason the house of God is not, there's no prayer, there's no preparation of the people, and there's no pursuit of God. Pursue His goodness and you'll find happiness. Pursue His greatness and you'll find holiness. Thy likeness. I got these myself. I mean, probably read it somewhere. You read it somewhere. I've read it somewhere probably. I know I have. Everything you get is read it. You ain't got nothing new. Well, don't forget it. You ain't got nothing new. You ain't coming up with anything new. It's already been said somewhere. It's just your turn to say it. That's what's good about it. It's my opportunity to say it now. Amen. Hey, God gives me the opportunity to say it. He gives you the opportunity to say it. That's why, that's the next one is, not only His goodness you find happiness, not only His greatness you find hope, but in His glory you'll find His heavenliness. Heavenliness. Have you ever got in the glory? In the glory. I've got into glory every once in a while. And brother, I'm just in the heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. I don't know what I'm in. I just know I'm in the glory. We've gotten the glory. You've gotten the glory around here. It's just been heavenly, ain't it? I mean, it's been heavenly. The reason the house of God is shutting down, there's no prayer. There's no preparation of people. Then there's no pursuit of God no more. Nobody pursues God. I want to pursue Him. For if my pursuit of God, I'll find life. I'll find life. I'll find life there. He said, you seek me and ye shall live. Amen. You seek me and ye shall live. And ye shall live. I want to say I'm living tonight under His goodness. That's why I'm happy. I'm living under His greatness. That's why I'm holy. I'm living in His glory. That's why it's heavenly sometimes. Last, but He's in the house of God. For transgression, no power, no prayer, no pursuit. Now, this is the one that really gets me in a lot of trouble. There's no preaching going on. There ain't no preaching. There's a lot of teaching, itching ears. There ain't much preaching going on. There ain't no preaching going on, fellas. We need some preaching. You need preaching. I need preaching. Them preachers ought to preach to me. And there's another thing. Them preachers ought to let me preach to them. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you can preach to me, buddy, but my turn comes sometime too, and I'm going to preach to you as much as you can preach to me. That's the better way ought to be reciprocal as far as you as being the members of the church and the people that sit in the church. That as I preach to you, you ought to receive that, but you ought not preach to me, but you ought to be able to express to me the things that are right. And when you talk to me, you'd say to me, this is what's right, Brother Harvey. There'd be preaching going on. My sister Montana, I think she was a preacher, and God just wouldn't allow her to be one. And sometimes they might think that of you if you get to testifying, you know what I mean? Hey, I found another woman just like it. I'm going to get her my youth thing, buddy. Her name's Roland. And son, that lady's got God all over her, brother. And she's up there testifying that day in that church. And, amen. And son, she's up on that pulpit and she's got that strong voice like you. And she's going on, you know, and it's good. She ain't used up in authority. She wouldn't even get behind the pulpit. She's just testifying going on. She wrote the song, Have You Told Him That I Love Him? She said she went to her, she had this place that where she'd go and have prayer every morning. It was her own studio because they sing a lot. And she said that she was coming in there, it's cold, about 40 degrees, real cold that morning. She'd come in there to have her prayer time with God. And then she sat there and she said, that's too cold, Lord. I'll turn the heater on. I'll come back in a minute. And she said she got to the door. And he said, the Lord said, can't you pray with a little cold? She went over and she sat down, put a little blanket around her, started praying. All of a sudden, God came in there. She forgot all about the cold. And she got to talking to God. She said, I got to talking. I forgot all about the cold. She said, after about an hour or so, she said, I got up and I was going out the door. And all of a sudden, the little voice said, had you told me that you love me? Have you told me that you love me? And she wrote the song, have you told him that you love him? And she said, so I spent another hour telling him how much I loved him. She said, I said, and I'm just telling him how much I loved him. How much I loved him. Amen. Hey, there's some ladies, you know. I'm telling you, that's got God in their lives. God's all over them. And I'm not against all the women, just about three quarters of them. But there's some good ones, buddy. There's some good ones. There's some good ones that know God, that love God, that pray, that can testify and honor God. Amen. Amen. I see the glory gets on their lives. There's some that's got God all over their lives. They're not full of the world. They don't stuff their face full of television. They don't have to play a ball game every day. Their entertainment's not another game. Their entertainment is not another place on that television or some kind of sit a worldly thing. They ain't looking for entertainment. They're looking for the presence of God. They'll get on a hole on their knees and cry out to God, and you'll find them in a matter of great power. Amen. Bonnie Cooley, Brother Mark, those two friends, boys. I was preaching on the radio one day, and I'd get off this, and I'd come out the radio, and I'd go over every day, you know, after the radio time. I've been on that radio now for 30-something years, And I go over, and Sister Bonnie, have y'all met Mark and Bonnie Cooley? Y'all have not met Bonnie. You need to meet Bonnie. You ain't met the twins, brother. I ought to get her up here this week. Them boys too. Amen. I come up and you just got to meet her. She comes to the door. Oh, Brother Harvey. I thought, Bonnie. And she had her apron. She does dress modest, and her dresses do. She does dress modest. Always since she's a little bitty girl. Tell that to this crew nowadays. It's still right, buddy. You know, that could be one reason that the house of God's coming tonight. Yeah, I don't need to get right there. She came to the door, and she wiping tears away. She said, "Oh, Brother Harvey, you caught me praying." I said, "Oh." And I was sure glad I was on the list. Amen. I'm glad I was on the list. She said, "Brother Harvey, I got to get to preaching." She said, "Brother Harvey, you almost hacked today." You know, when, sir, I was got to going so fast, you know. She said, "You almost hacked today." She's real soft-spoken. I said, "Yeah, it got close, you know." And so I nicknamed her Hackahoo. She was the only one person to call her. I said, "Oh, Hackahoo," because she said, "You almost hacked." I said, "Well, I hack every once in a while. I get to going so fast, I gotta get me some wind. I get some wind. I ain't been that way in a long time though. I ain't got to preaching so fast. I had to suck wind. No, Brett Field kid calls it wind suckers." You know, I sort of like them old wind suckers. Some of them old wind suckers could preach. But son. It wouldn't fit these now, modern day boys. You know why? Because them modern day boys never did step one. Never learned how to pray. Never did learn how to pray. You can't get too many people to come to a praying church, but you can sure get some powerful people. They can move God. The last, and there's no preaching going on. This man of God, it was during the time of famine of hearing the word of God. There was no preaching going on at Bethel. He didn't come from a family of long line of preachers. He hadn't been to school with the sons of the prophet, Elisha. But he wasn't nothing but an old herdsman, a fruit gatherer. But his word was always dropped on these people against them. And he preached. And he preached. Amos was known as a preacher. He wasn't a prophet. He was a herdsman. And he preached. I wonder what that got to say about that.
We ain't got no preaching going on in the house of God. We ain't got no preaching going on, friend.
You get to going and preaching, preaching is all that's going to bring it where it needs to be. I used to love preaching, didn't you? I still love preaching. I had to go. I've got to be somewheres every night, Brother Wayne. When I come home, there's got to be some. I'm going to go some meeting somewhere. I've got to be somewheres. She asked her. I've got to go somewheres every night. Harold B. Seitler said he never spent one night in his whole life that he wasn't preaching somewheres in a church. His whole life. Not one night. He died preaching. I got to quit here. There's a famine of hearing. What are you doing when the preaching's not going on? There's a bunch of people running everywhere. There's a famine. And then they send it to famine in the land. Then there was also they could not find the Word of God. There's no preaching going on. And the saints, the fair virgins and the young men over in chapter 8, they're fainting. They're fainting. What happens when there's no preaching going on? There is... The wife will be harlot in a city. They're seduced. The sons and daughters will fall by the sword. There'll be war. The land will be divided. There'll be strife. They'll die in a polluted land. There'll be that they take silence of people. There'll be stink in the land of death. But the Israel will that go into captivity. What will happen to a people that there's no preaching going? The sovereignty of God. They'll go into captivity. Captivity is a manner of God's chastening to Israel. And that's where we're at. The punishment is not over. You say, give me the simplicity of it. How many tonight is out of the will of God? How many tonight are not even coming to the house of God? How many are out there that think the house of God is coming? The house of God is coming to naught because there's no prayer. There's no pursuit of God. There's no preaching going on. And there is nobody sitting there telling them that the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. There needs to be some preaching. And if I'm long about preaching, take Eutychus in Acts chapter, whatever it is, when he preached all night long, and that young man that was in the balcony three stories up fell out of the window dead. It was a young man that fell out the window, and they said he was long preaching. Sitting in the presence of agony, indifferent. The great Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher there was, and they went to sleep on him. You know what the ruins of Troas was, brother? I'm doing a rabbit right now. You go look up in the book of, in a history book on Troas, and there's three pictures there of three different things that's in that in the ruins of Troas. One, there's a theater. Then there's a Colosseum. And then there's a synagogue, a church, a football field, and a theater. Their philosophy, their games, and then their church. The church, the philosophy of our colleges and their theaters, and then the games that this world's all they're playing. And I'm not against letting your kids play sport. You've got to get an understanding of this. Don't let this make you offend you when I start talking about it. You've got to see how the sports and the entertainment world is taking the people out of the house of God. Amen. It's taking them out of the house of God. Yeah. They said they'd pick it on the football field. I pray into Jesus. You're supposed to be in church. Amen. I'd have my church out here. Take your little chaplain, football chaplain. How in the world is he a football chaplain? Give me a break. This Bible don't ordain any football chaplains.
You better get a hold of that. Because this outfit right now, when you start talking about their little boy coming out going to church, they'll have a fit. He can go out there and pray on the field. You know, what is he going to pray? God bless me while I take his thinking head off. Go, he's a good sportsman. We're going to have to make good character. We're going to arrest them. They can't play ball no more because of their character. They ought to get good character at the house of God. That's where their character is built, not on a ball field by somebody's hero. Those kids think more of a football coach than they do the man of God. They think more of a veteran and somebody's soldier more than they do the man of God. They think more of a big official than they do the man of God. Hey, I'm a veteran, I got it all. But Jesus is the greatest hero. Jesus is a great veteran. Jesus is all there is. Jesus is the one that killed me. Jesus is all that matters, amen. It's Jesus. It's Jesus.
Yes.
Not your football players and not your veterans, amen. And I can say that with some awards that I've got. I just don't boast of them. I'm just glad I can run for the Lord, amen. It'd be all right with you, Pastor, if I take a trip around the building today, amen. Be all right with you, sister, take me. Can I do a little road? Yes, sister, go ahead. Just walk yourself around this place. You want to go down there with some of those boys that get in the glory, some of that the craziest church you ever walked on 2 feet, Leland Fraser's bunch. You've got to get out of the way. That bunch will run over you. They're everywhere, up and down, back and forth, and everywhere, and jumping every which way. You just get out of the way. But I say, come on, boys, go get it. I get up right in the middle of them. I say, get it, boys, get it. Get it, young man, get it, amen. The house of God is coming to naught because there's no prayer. There's no preparation of the people. There's no pursuit of God. And then there's no preaching. No preaching. We're going to get some preaching this week. I guarantee he's got some men going to preach. Come to the house of God to see a person, not to a place. Go out into the world to see good, not evil. That's that one that I left out in my pursuit. There's good. Go see the good. You keep on looking on the evil, it's going to destroy you. Evil is sufficient as the evil of the day thereof. You keep listening to that news, that Fox News, you keep listening to that bunch, it'll drive you to the fell, it'll get you depressed, get you discouraged. What are you going to look for? I'm going to look for something good. What's good? Jesus. What's good, Jesus? Hey, what's good? He's good. He's good. He's good. They can't take that. Go in there and get your McDonald's Happy Meal. Sit down there and have a time with it. Then what are you so happy about? I met him that's good. I met him that's good. He's good. Hey, you want something to eat? Sit down with me. I can't talk for talking about how good he is. I'll run back over it again, so let's pray. Lord, help us this week. And as they prayed already, that you might do something in our hearts. And I pray tonight, Lord, there's nothing else in this old world that matters. There's nothing else. Tomorrow when they raise up, they'll run to and fro in that chapter there. It deals with them running to and fro. Fainting, young men and virgins fainting, wandering from place to place. And it's a famine of hearers, God. Hearers. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord saith unto the churches. And God, we want to hear your word tonight, but we won't be doers of it. May we do what you've said. May we obey you, and love you, and cleave to you, as Deuteronomy says. Thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.